Now, Boxy, you're an amazing radio broadcaster, and you give a lot of yourself. And that's what we have to do when we're on the air, to give ourselves a lot, give a lot to ourselves, to our listeners. But something that is really personal to you, and you went on this journey by yourself. I've known you for 8 years, and we're really good friends. We're close. I know a lot about you, but I don't really know about your IVF journey, because it's very, very personal. And I've known you for 8 years. So what I'd like to know, what made you do it to start off with? And like, was it scary? Like, because you never told anyone. I used to ring you a couple of times, and now I know what you're going through. But you'd be like, I'm just at the movies, can't talk. I've got to do this. I'm doing that. But you were off getting stuff done for your IVF.
Yeah, I think when you do IVF, whether it's on your own or with a partner, you tend to not necessarily tell people, because you know from your the very first appointment with the IVF doctor. And I remember Samir Jatka, who was my IVF doctor, who was just brilliant. And the great thing about Samir was his mum was my GP. So I had that discussion with her, and I was probably, look, I'll take you back. So Trixie was about two maybe, and I thought to myself, I would like more children. And I think a lot of women, either if you are in your mid to late 30s, you do start to go, okay, I've got to think about this, because the biological clock is a factor.
It's ticking.
And you think about your life, and I think what is so liberating in this time, you know, 2023, is a woman can take control of these situations. Whereas I think about for my grandparents or my grandmothers, if they hadn't met someone and gotten married, well, you just couldn't have a baby. And for me, I took stock of where I was in my life. So I think I probably was about 38 when I first started thinking about IVF. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go and get some information. And I would recommend that to anyone, particularly. And I do get contacted by a lot of women in their mid-30s who go, oh, this is something I might consider now. So go and talk to somebody. So I went, I said to my GP, I was thinking about it, and she said, well, my son's an IVF doctor. Would you like to talk to him? So my first appointment with Samir, so I would have been 39, and it was incredibly eye-opening, because it was brutal. And this is the thing that we don't get necessarily taught at school, women, young girls, the decline in your egg health from about 33, 35 onwards, it deteriorates at a rate of knots. And I remember he showed me a chart of success rates. And at about 38, it was quite low. It was a case of maybe you'd have like 40% chance of having a live birth at the end of it. And I went, oh. So we thought about my options at that age. And that the best thing for me to do then, I decided, was to freeze my eggs. So I didn't actually start IVF then.
Because you start losing eggs, don't you, as you get older. Is that right?
You don't
necessarily lose the number, but the healthy eggs.
The health of them.
That's why you freeze them, so you could have it, say, at 45, that egg would still be, if you did it at 38, it'd be 38 years old.
Yes. So I had my eggs taken. No, actually, how do they do that? So what they do, and I, in fact, went away and thought about it. Don't do that. That's my recommendation. Yeah. At 38. I'd get your eggs out.
Put this on the back burner for a couple of years. I'll get back to you.
I actually did, because I think see, there's other factors that come in, and this is a tricky one for women, because then you might meet someone and you're like, ah, okay, this is I've started a journey on my own there, but now I've met someone. How does this play out? And I probably lost a year or two. And then I think when I was 40, I had my eggs taken out, and that was when I was told, you know, now we've gone, you've down to about 20% from 40 in a year. I lost a lot of.
In that time, though, if you've had eggs taken and then you meet someone, what happens? Can you just pause the whole thing?
No.
You can't put them back in.
You put them back in?
No, you can't put them back in.
I would love to have a kid, but my eggs are in the freezer at bloody Samir's place.
Sorry, I'm laughing, and no question is stupid, but
I don't even know what IVF stands for. I want to go all the way back to that.
To get the eggs taken out, so what happened then, to answer your initial question, Nick, to have an egg retrieval, you're under a general anaesthetic, and I did do that you guys didn't know I was doing any of this.
I didn't know you then.
No, you weren't even here. But I was. So you'd go in, they put you under general and they literally go in and they suck the eggs out. But before that, there's a lot of scans. So they check your egg health, they check your follicle health. And this is where a lot of women find out they have got, there's reasons for their infertility. And then you might have to deal with those reasons. Follicles.
Before we get to, we've got a heap
follicles
of callers.
Follicles are where the, sorry, just really quickly, they're where the eggs come out. So an egg comes out of a follicle. So when you are fertile,
hair. No need for this.
Your eggs are being released from the follicles.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
It's not cool. Ovulating, is that right?
Yeah, ovulating. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, bloody life, Ed Van Fev over here.
You know.
Now we do have a call. Shall I take a call? We've got Sally from Diamond Creek. Hi, Sally.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good, Sal. Did you want to ask anything about IVF?
Oh, I'm just currently sitting in my car waiting for my second scan to see how my follicles are going.
Oh.
Wow. So, Sal, where are you at in your journey?
This is my fourth round of IVF. I'm 40 and I don't have a great quality eggs. It's quite daunting because I don't know if I'm going to get any good quality ones this round.
How many eggs have you, so you've, this is your fourth egg retrieval you'll be doing, is that right?
Yes.
How many eggs have you got after three rounds?
So my first round I only had two follicles, so we cancelled the collection because it wasn't enough. The second round we got, I think, 14 eggs and none of those were viable at all. We had a couple fertilised. Ended up with no embryos. The third round we had eight and we ended up with one embryo and that ended up being mosaic, which means it's missing a chromosome and it's got abnormal and normal cells. So we can potentially transfer that embryo, but we wanted to see if we can have any more luck and try and get a healthy one. So fingers crossed for this time round, and I'm hoping that egg collection will be on Friday.
Yes. So, stay positive,
yeah.
Sal.
Yeah, good luck, Sally.
Thank you. I just don't, my question is, how do you just keep doing this?
Sal, I mean.
How many times did you have boxy?
I did, Sally. I actually, my situation, I was very fortunate. I didn't have any, all my scans and tested, I was able, it looked promising in as much as I had a good egg reserve. So I did two egg retrievals. And I had 33 eggs, so I had a lot. So that was in my favour. But then what they do is, and in my case, I had the two egg retrievals, I had about 33 eggs. And then when they get the donor sperm, they then make them into embryos. I will never forget the call I got. I was actually out at Lilydale at the cheese farm just enjoying some cheese and some chutney. And I was with the family and I got a call because the embryologist will call you. And they were calling me to tell me the success rate of making the embryos. And it was such a horrible phone call and I'll never forget it. It was so flattening because she rang and she said, look, of your – because I was chuffed. And anyone who's done IVF, to have 33 eggs, I'm on fire. I was like, how good are this? I'm winning. Yeah. And she said, out of all your eggs, we got three embryos.
So that's about
7%. And they're not great quality. So they grade them A, B, C. I think one was, the best was like a B and the other ones were C's. And she was because they're very honest with you and they're scientists. So there's no bedside manner. And she just said, yeah, not great. Look, you might want to explore what your other options are. These aren't great embryos. Wow. Don't tell Daisy that. And I got off the phone. You know what the first thing I did then, because I was so flat and I thought, I'm not going to have another baby. And I want another baby more than anything. And I went straight to thinking about donor eggs. That night I was on a website in the US, in the States. Looking
eBay.
At, yeah, pretty, there's, you can go overseas can, yeah, go to overseas, get donor
I've
eggs.
I've had a friend do that.
Hold on. So you can get an egg. Have it sent to Australia and then...
I think it's got to go over. So, but I had already thought, well, this isn't going to be for me and I'm not, this is, and if I do want to have another baby, I'm going to have to use someone else's eggs.
131060, if you want a question for Fee, we're going to go to an ad break. But just before we go to an ad break, Boxy, just want to ask one question and I've been wanting to ask this for a little bit. So when you say the sperm, so I don't want to get cancelled by saying this, but you go, so the sperm, obviously you need a donor.
Yes.
Some, a man's sperm to go into the egg to make the baby.
Yep.
Is that like Tinder or what? What do you, who do you look for? Do you get to pick that? Do you go through a book?
Yeah, that's a whole process in itself. So what path you choose to go down, you can either go down the path of an anonymous donor, a known donor, so you can ask people that you know. And if you do go down the path of a known donor, there's lots of other issues there. You have to go through counselling. You go to appointments as with a psychologist, and the psychologist has to.
So that's a process in itself.
Yeah, that's a whole nother process. So that's – but if you go down the path of an anonymous donor – You literally, they give you a catalogue. You sit there with a catalogue and you sift through them and you get, oh, he's got a Harvard degree and studied maths. Yeah, that's
tick.
It's a really, the donor is a really interesting process too.
Now, Boxer, you can answer this or you don't have to, but obviously having a kid already, Trixie, how did you speak to Trixie about that and what did you say to her? Because it affects other kids?
Yeah, well, like I... making the decision to go down the path and choosing to be a single parent and bring Daisy into the world as her only parent, that's not taken lightly, and you think through all the repercussions. And Trixie, and for me, my parenting, the way I'm choosing to parent, and from all the advice, and you have to read a lot, and I was reading a lot. I watched a lot of documentaries, and I firmly believe that honesty is the best policy. So it just starts, I talked Trixie through the process and what was happening, and we discussed the concept of a donor, and Daisy doesn't have a dad, and this is how she came to be. And for Trixie, because she was five, she was six when Daisy was born, for me, my approach to having gone through IVF and gone through this process on my own, Daisy is a gift. Mm. We got given a gift, and Trixie knows that. She was a miracle gift. And I'll go into that a bit more about how difficult and the odds of having Daisy were so slim. But that's how we – so Trixie was involved in the whole process. She knew how it happened, how Daisy came to be. And Daisy will know that too. We start – you know, she's only three, very early to introduce these concepts, but – I'm using the word donor a lot and talking about how, you know, we wanted her more than anything, and how she was just the best gift. And she is. That's my philosophy. She was a gift I was given. Ari and Epping. Hi, Ari.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Ari. I'm here to answer anything, unfiltered.
Okay, so... I guess my question would be, how did you know that doing it on your own was the right decision for you? So regardless whether you severely wanted kids or not, but how did you know that it was the right choice? Because I'm quite a bit younger than yourself. I'm 29, but I'm seriously considering doing it on my own. I guess I'm just kind of at that point where I'm just a bit stuck on, is this the right thing for me?
It's a great question, Ari. And as you know, and you basically summarise then, only you know what's right for you. And I think, I mean, I've always been fiercely independent, and I've always been very goal-oriented, and I've known what I've wanted in life. And if you can find somebody and you pair off and you're both on the same journey, that's a beautiful thing. But as a woman in your 30s, if you haven't found that, you've got to start thinking about options. So, yeah, I think it's something that you yourself know, and then you'll make that decision. You're probably, as you said, a bit too young, so maybe it's something that might present itself when you realise that the biological clock is ticking.
Hey, Boxy, for Ari, like you say about freezing your eggs, could she freeze her eggs now? Is she too young to freeze eggs? Can you freeze eggs?
No.
So if she meets someone, right, and then wants to have kids with them, how long can those eggs stay frozen? Because she can still get pregnant with.
Oh, they're frozen. I was going to say forever. I mean, what if Ari was to freeze those eggs now, but decided to go through IVF when she was 40?
Yeah.
they're going to be 20. How old did you say you were, Ari?
29.
29. They're 29. Those eggs are 29.
So you can just freeze them anyway and then still absolutely. Have a partner and then have a baby with that partner.
You could freeze the eggs and not use them down the track.
Yeah, down the track, yeah.
Because of what I went through and my egg quality had deteriorated so much and I wasn't aware of that, I would even reckon my girls, when they're in their 20s, I'll probably say to them, if financially it's an option, freeze your eggs.
Yeah.
Because you don't – I personally think it's trickier to get to your late 30s and start freezing your eggs. I found that.
Yeah. Mm. There you go.
Thank you for that, Ari. Well, good luck with that decision. And I back to where you're at, I think it will present itself. And you'll know if you want to do it on your own. I believe that.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, I'm at the exact same point that you were at where – You're independent, you're goal-driven and everything like that, and I'm independent now for the second year in my life after a seven-year relationship, and I'm loving it. I can't see myself dating, anything like that. So that's why I'm kind of considering it, just so I don't miss that opportunity. And then if I meet someone, I already have what I want, so I don't have to worry about it.
Well, that's the thing, Ari, and look, it is a really sensitive area, and a lot of people, there are people have different perspectives on it, but for me... And I watch this and I've got friends, girlfriends in similar situations, late 30s, early 40s, and they're trying to lock into relationships to have a baby. Mm. I cannot stress how dangerous I think that is. I think settling for somebody, settling for a relationship that doesn't make you happy, doesn't make you thrive, is not a reason just to have a child. And that's how I felt personally. But I do know women who are in relationships because they just wanted to have a child. So if you're able to and you feel like you could do it on your own, I think that's better than just finding a man so I can have a baby. That's how I felt, and other people have different experiences.
Exactly. I couldn't imagine being tied to my exes for the rest of my life. So.
Oh, no, the near escapes.
I think she knows what she wants to do.
Yeah. Well, good luck with whatever direction you go in.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I think you're an absolute inspiration. So thank you.
Thank you, Ari. I appreciate that. Rachel in Bacchus Marsh. Hi, Rach.
Hi, how are we going?
Yeah, good, good, good. What would you like to know about my IVF experience?
Yeah, so I've got a question a bit from a different avenue. I have a very close friend of mine who has gone through 6 or 7 rounds of IVF, and I'm a very close support person for her. And I think it's been hard to know what the right and the wrong things are to say to be a support person who is unfortunately going through unsuccessful rounds of IVF.
Yeah, Rach, that is tricky, and obviously you're a very good friend to be there for her. And it's an interesting one, and it's hard for me to answer because I didn't really tell many people. My family knew, but I didn't really confide in many people because there is – but you know what, and it was an awful thing because when you go to the IVF clinic, there are endless boxes of tissues, and I would see couples, you'd see women just distraught going through cycle upon cycle and having no success. It's a really, really tough one, Rach. And the only thing I would say that I would have needed through times like that is just the positivity, and that whatever you want, like, and obviously having a biological child through IVF is the end goal, but it's not the only way to be happy. And I think I had, in my mind, I'd prepared myself because I'd been told I had a 7% chance of success. And I remember sitting there and I walked away from the clinic and went, that's 93% chance of failure. Mm. Why am I even bothering? This is going to be heartbreaking. But I was able to reassure myself that happiness is I can achieve happiness if this doesn't happen. And I think that would be a great thing for you to bolster your friend and remind her.
Yeah. And I think now we're very fortunate to share that she's 24 weeks pregnant.
Oh, that's fantastic. Rach, congrats. Like, I know this is very private and we don't know her, but congratulate her for us.
Yes, I will. And I'm 25 weeks and we're due a week apart. So,
the mates.
That's a beautiful story. Yeah. Well done, Rach, for you obviously personally, but your friend. That's fantastic news.
Yeah, thank you for the support. And I think it's amazing that it's out there for everyone to be aware of.
That's so well, Rach, I'm more than happy to. And look, we've got so many more questions, lots of questions that we're happy to keep answering.
Now, Boxy, I was just going back to an earlier caller, Ari, who rang before. He's 29, been in a relationship for 7 years, but thinking about freezing her eggs because she doesn't want another partner. But I just kept thinking, if she did meet someone, she's frozen her eggs now, she's 29, she meets someone in a couple of years, they want to have babies, could he use his sperm and donate it to those eggs without...
Yes, and see, that's a really interesting area because it was a predicament I was faced with. So when I went through my egg retrievals, and I went through two egg retrievals to get about 33 eggs, then the question is, do you want, if you're going to use a donor, do you fertilize those eggs then and have them frozen?
Yeah.
Or do you just keep the eggs there and then if you meet a partner... Do you – so what I chose to do to keep my options open at the time, I froze my eggs. I just went, go and freeze the eggs. We won't fertilize them because they can have a better chance if you – before you freeze them, you fertilize them. So I said, no, go ahead and freeze them. But then I only fertilized half of them and I left half for what the future might hold.
Yeah.
So if I met somebody, then I could – you could use his sperm to fertilize them.
Yeah.
So it is a predicament. And back to Ari, it's a tricky one to decide, do I do this on my own or do I go down a path where I leave myself open to fall in love? And you know what? For any women who are in that predicament or know somebody, it was a really easy one for me to answer in the end because I was in this tough situation of, Do I wait for the nuclear family where I do it with a partner or do I do it on my own? And I came to the realization, and I was about 38, 39, I've got the rest of my life to fall in love. I didn't have the rest of my life to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me was the real crunch point. It was like crystallized in my mind. Oh, I can fall in love in my 40s. I can fall in love in my 50s. I can have teenage kids and fall in love. But I can't wait to then to start this. So that's when I realised, no, this I'll do on my own.
It's time to go.
Yes. We've had lots of DMs, by the way, and I'm so sorry because we're getting so many calls and I haven't answered a lot of these DMs that have come through. Beck wrote in and said, how did you go having the injections? And that is a great question, Beck, because it was the one thing I was terrified of. And I remember thinking, how am I going to do this? Because I'm not good with going to get an injection, let alone giving it to myself.
Oh, you do it yourself.
Oh, yes.
It's in your stomach, just below your belly button, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So, and you're given, I'm not really good with any of this. So, and that you're given all these instructions and they're very specific and you have to do your injections and there's different injections because there's a bigger injection that just before you ovulate, which triggers the trigger injection. People have been through this will know that. And that you've got to have within, it's almost a 4-hour window. And I'll never forget, I was on my way to the cinema to a movie and I thought, hang on, I'll be in the movie when I've got to. So I raced home in my little esky. I put my injection stuff. And I remember like halfway through the movie at the cinema, and my friend next to me is going, what are you doing? Just getting out my syringe, filling it up, just jabbing myself in the stomach mid-movie. But the interesting thing was, and when you want
something... Have a choc-toc with it? Or?
Yeah.
When you want something really badly, you can overcome anything. And I didn't mind the injections, and I can say that to anyone who is maybe going to go through IVF at some stage in their life. That is the thing, the least you've got to worry about. They're really easy. They're very fine needles, barely feel them.
When you're jabbing it in, do you like, please, 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 please be the one? Do you like talk to it?
Because you're not injecting yourself with an egg.
No, like, but doesn't it all help? Like,
well, you're injecting hormones.
Yeah.
To stimulate the process.
Betoey.
No, not at all.
Hopefully not talking when the movies are on. Yeah. Come on, we're trying to watch.
In actual fact, going through IVF is so time consuming. And it is funny because obviously Josiah and EQ in here, but Fev was in my life when I was going through this. And it's so personal that you do. We even had events, like we had our matchmaking mama events and I couldn't go because I was going through an egg retrieval. And it's tricky, like, it's one of our biggest events of the year. You're not coming.
Yeah, she wasn't there.
No.
And she said she was pregnant. I said, what's happened?
And then another. How did that happen? And then
Fev,
another.
Can we use that as an excuse to get out of meetings?
She literally says I'm pregnant. I'm like, what?
But for any women going through IVF, there are also things like, I'll never forget, I had an egg retrieval on a Tuesday. And at the time, and you don't pick a day. It's like that you they you go in every day for a blood test, and I've got to say, as someone who wasn't great with needles, you could I'm a pincushion now. You could do anything to my body because you get that many blood. You get a blood test every day leading up to ovulating. You got to go in to the hospital, get your blood taken, and then they tell you when they're going to go in and get the eggs. And they said, you're going in on Tuesday. But I was on the project because I was a regular on a Tuesday. And I was like, that's the one day of the week. So I went in for my egg retrieval, and then I had to go straight to Channel 10. And when you get your eggs retrieved, you go under the general anaesthetic. And when you wake up, you feel like you've been – someone's punched you in the stomach a lot. And I'll never forget, I was at the desk next to Carrie, and – she knew what I was going through, and I had hot water bottles on my – like all night I'm on the television and I just feel like I've done, you know, five rounds with Mike Tyson. I was sitting there going, oh, I can't even – what am I doing? But you've got to get on with your life, and people don't know what you're going through.
You could just say you had bad period pain or something to get away with it.
I think I probably did. Yeah. I was like, oh, could we get this this water bottle heated up? Alice in Nidri. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Fifi. Hi, Sev. Hi, Nick.
Alice.
Good morning.
Alice, what would you like to ask, or is this something personal that you're going through?
No, I'm not. I do work as a maternal child health nurse, so I get the privilege of talking to lots of women with lots of different conception journeys in my career. And I just want to say, firstly, Fifi, thanks for being so open and honest talking about your journey. I'm sure there's many women that are very grateful. But I did want to ask, once you've got embryos left in the freezer and you've decided you're finished with your journey and your family's complete, what happens to those embryos?
Really tough one, Alice, because and it's something that I've been faced with, and I've got a girlfriend who is in a similar situation at the moment. They've decided they're not going to have any more children, but what do you do with the embryos? And to complete my story, of my 33 eggs, because I was wrapped with all those, I got 3 embryos. And Samir, my IVF doctor, said the best path for me was to put 2 of the embryos in the first transfer, and then my second transfer, we had 1 embryo left. And if they hadn't taken, he was prepared to go in and get more eggs out and see how we went. But how fortunate was I? With 7% chance of a success rate, Daisy came out of my first retrieval. Sorry, my first transfer. So I had 2 embryos. One of those embryos is Daisy. Mm-hmm. So my little baby, my little miracle baby. Then I had this other embryo in the freezer, and I was being faced a few years ago with that, what do I do here? And that is a very, very personal decision. And they either destroy the embryo, you can donate the embryo to somebody else, or you choose to transfer it. And 18 months ago, Daisy was about 18 months, maybe just about to turn 2. And I thought to myself, my family is complete. As a single mum, I didn't feel like I could have more children because it's hard enough, and I didn't want to take any more time from Daisy or Trixie. So I was already struggling with the balance, and I thought if I add another baby to this, that will probably stretch me. So my gut told me I shouldn't do that, but I did do it. So I decided to transfer the last embryo because I couldn't destroy it. And that's just how I felt personally, Alice. And, there are people that go down the path where they do destroy the embryo. So the morning that it was being transferred, I already knew it was a poor grade embryo and it didn't have a chance, which is so sad because I was like, oh, come on, you little thing, this is not fair. And the morning of the transfer, they thawed the embryo, and Samir came in to me before the procedure, and he said, already it was a very poor embryo with not a lot of movement. We've just thawed it out. It's barely moving. Yeah. And that we're talking about cells here.
Yeah.
So he said, look, we can go through with it, but we're now talking of Buckley's and none.
But you'd already told yourself that, but you couldn't think to yourself that you've let that go.
I couldn't put it
you
in
couldn't
the
put
bin.
It in
no.
the bin. And but you
So
thought,
they transferred it.
So you built yourself up to that, knowing that it's not
going to happen. I prepared myself for having a third child, and I went through with the transfer, and it wasn't meant to be. That is a very tricky place to be in when you've got embryos in the freezer, and what do you do with those if you don't want to continue having babies?
Just want to say, well done, Boxy. I was teary. I was getting emotional. I've got a lot of messages from, you know, a lot of women saying how brave and amazing that you're talking about this on radio. And, you know, sometimes we don't have to go real deep into our personals, and we all, you know, Nick does it, you do it, and I do it. We go into our personal life, but to dig as deep as you did about your IVF journey, which is really, really personal to a lot of families out there. Well done. You've absolutely nailed it.
I was happy to do it. And there's so many details. I guess when you go through something, you think, I don't want to bore people with what this was, but I do. I now realize there are a lot of people that will either take solace or maybe take heart, or anyone who's thinking about it in the future. There are so many elements to going through IVF, whether you're as a couple or as a single woman. And I'm always happy to talk about it. So, and my just sincerest apologies if you do DM me. I've got hidden DMs that I never see, and I'm just so sorry. Because I feel bad. I'm sure people have contacted me and I haven't got back to them, so my apologies.
You would have inspired people to go through with it and obviously try to have some babies. So you are an inspiration, and you're an inspiration to a lot of women out there.